This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, one of my favorite parts of the holidays is the feeling of warmth and connection that comes with it. Whether it's spending time with loved ones, wrapping up in a cozy blanket, or sipping on a hot chocolate while watching a holiday movie, December always brings a special kind of comfort. But I've also learned over the years that true comfort, the kind that lasts beyond the holiday season, comes from taking care of your mental and emotional well-being. Therapy is an incredible tool for achieving that lasting sense of comfort and growth. It's not just about working through challenges. It's about learning how to set boundaries, build positive coping strategies, and become the best version of yourself. And that's not something limited to people who've experienced major trauma. It's a resource that can benefit everyone, no matter where they are in their journey. If you've been thinking about starting therapy, BetterHelp is a fantastic option to consider. It's completely online, designed to be convenient and flexible, so it fits easily into your busy schedule. All it takes is a quick questionnaire to match you with a licensed therapist who's right for you. And if you ever want to switch therapists, you can do so at no extra charge. It's therapy on your terms, and that makes it accessible to everyone. Find comfort this December with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/playbook.
David, thank you so much for making time for us today. I really appreciate it.
Got it, my friend. How are you?
Get in that microphone. Get in there.
Yeah. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah. So right. If you had on your playlist your three top podcasts, mine real quick would be Patrick Bit David, Joe Rogan, and The Daily from New York Times. What would be yours?
Rogan for sure. And then it's just variants. I like Impact Theory with Bill Yu. Yeah. I like Ed Milet as well. Patrick Bet David, I love. He's probably one of the most intelligent human beings.
Insanely intelligent.
And I really lean towards intelligence because whether I agree or not, at least I can appreciate the position with someone who has thought through and has actual data behind what their opinion is. And so many people in these social silos, I always say, be wary of a 19-year-old life coach. And, you know, it's a courageous platform to be a 19-year-old life coach. But those are people that are well-informed and intelligent in their analysis. And then I can appreciate theirs and form my own.
I like the diversity of guests that are on the show too, because he has everyone on, especially even during the situation in the Middle East. He'll have a rabbi on against an imam. And I love when they have these dialogues that are just powerful. A lot of balls to be Patrick Bit David, what he does.
Absolutely. And I've been blessed to sit down in person with him. He's even better in person. So,
so question now, you, of course, said, hey, Apple TV, we love being on Apple TV. We love doing our type of shows. Do you see a limitation being on a OTT type environment over the top? Or do you say, hey, I got to be more traditional media, or should I just go 100% YouTube?
I do everything. So, you know, for me, I have what I call a Shakespearean perspective of content, which is most people consider themselves, in my position, a content creator. I believe I'm a content capturer. What I try to do is to capture all the cool activities that I have and opinions and peoples around me. So my podcast, I've done 1950 episodes of The Playbook. We've done 4,800 interviews on Office Hours. We have a variety of different platforms from Reach TV to Apple TV to I'm on Sirius XM, mostly sports on there, but still on there. But my mission is to utilize the idea that Shakespeare had, that the whole world is your stage. Why limit yourself to YouTube, which, by the way, if you're not involved in YouTube TV as a content capturer, you're missing out of the future. That's going to be the biggest network in the world.
How do you rise to the surface in such a crowded space?
So you don't have to anymore because of the accessibility and the affordability of reaching. If you capture your essence, your skills, knowledge, and desire, if you're able and capable of capturing that, you can pay someone to modify it per platform. You could pay someone to amplify it and utilize strategists in order to facilitate greater amplification that doesn't cost anything. And then where most people miss out, and I'm sure Terry will agree with me because he is an elder with great wisdom and he understands content, most of the younger content capturers or creators don't understand the perpetual nature of content. I just licensed and now an equity owner in Napoleon Hill Institute. And the reason, it's probably the biggest investment I've ever made. And the reason I made that investment was that community is the most powerful, in my opinion, community that I could have bought. And it's the most underutilized content. When you look at Think and Grow Rich and Outwitting the Devil alone, with almost a half a billion books sold in the community of people being high net wealth, inspirational people, executives, leaders around the world have all been impacted by Napoleon Hill and will instantly be part of a community of that. Instead of trying to build the Dave Meltzer brand, which gets expensive and more competitive with the noise that you're suggesting, Ken, I just went ahead and took a legacy brand and originally I licensed it for corporate use. But after meeting with JB Hill and Don Green, I actually instead am the chairman of all of Napoleon Hill Institute, took an equity position in the Institute to own that community, which would have taken me lifetimes to build. Instead, I just purchased it.
I'm curious about that. And that's maybe something we have a conversation with. My friend went off and bought Dale Carnegie. And turned around and sold it because it wasn't what they thought. Actually, same type of talk that you just gave.
Yeah.
That's what they gave at the very beginning. And 3 years later, they got rid of it. So I'm curious about that. What's your thought about buying existing communities? Do you think it's a better? It's almost like buying a shell company. You know, something that's already been on the market. It's you know, people do this all the time with publicly traded companies. Let me go get a shell company.
Yeah, no, it is. And I can see why it wouldn't work. And, you know, Ty Lopez has bought JCPenney's, the domain. And
Radio Shack.
Right. And I understand where the challenges lie. For me, on the legacy side, my knowledge of how to revitalize content. So part of owning the content is an accountability and responsibility of revitalizing it and utilizing it in its form to amplify it in a different form. So for me, being able for my relationships at SiriusXM to create a Think and Grow Rich channel. So now I'm putting the metal men on the Think and Grow Rich channel. So it's not necessarily maybe how they utilized it to amplify the actual Dale Carnegie course, you know, how to, you know, make friends and influence people and revitalize that actual content. I'm actually using a brand in order to facilitate an attraction. And this is what I learned in the sports industry, right? Like most people didn't understand that I called it the bug light approach. I would use Warren Moon, Troy Aikman, and Steve Young to get people like you to come to an event to raise money for charity and create margins with corporate sponsors. But I wasn't necessarily representing in the respect that most people thought Troy Aikman, Steve Young, and Warren Moon. They were simply what people recognize and were attracted to. I believe the same holds true with Think and Grow Rich, Outwitting the Devil, and Napoleon Hill. There's a certain credibility, especially in the Fortune 500, that will allow a decision maker to cover their ass. If they're like, why'd you hire that coach? Nobody knows who David Meltzer is. Oh, he's a Napoleon Hill certified coach. Oh, you covered your ass, you know?
But I mean, look at like Jeff Hazlett, what he tried to do. He tried to create the whole thing, but under a name that wasn't evangelized. What you're doing is you have a name that's already evangelized and just kind of sticking with that. That's smart.
Yeah.
So let's step back. We don't generally talk about sports here, but I know we got a bunch of sports guys. My question, very simple, is this. What's your thought of the Super Bowl and any of these giant championship games going to streaming platforms?
Oh, it's fantastic, which is why I told you if you're not investing your content on YouTube TV, you're making a huge mistake because the greatest real-time TV is sports, let alone the greatest real-time TV is the championships, the Olympics, the World Cup. And to be there in person, by the way, is going to exponentially be more valuable. Taylor Swift has proved that, that now that we're so virtual, to be there in person, the energy and the emotional connection is going to be escalated and exponentially valuable. So if you can get tickets to these things, but never discount the fact that YouTube, especially owning the rights to stream the greatest real-time content, and as gambling and real-time polling and the processing speed, the latency in the networks are getting so little, it's going to even be more enjoyable to engage in these championships where you can, you know, bet on or pull, you know, pass or run. There's all kinds of unbelievable things I've seen in, you know, proto with Howie Mandel, what they're going to be able to do in holograms with moving around a stadium. Think about this. You can actually virtually today sit in a suite and move your seat with the play. So if they're throwing down to one end zone, you can have the literally virtually the best seat in the house. And this is all going to be integrated into streaming. Besides the purchasing power, where you have companies like Verb Technology in Orange County, where you literally can just click on the item and automatically purchase it, there's so many different things that are going to make streaming far more enjoyable than probably being there in person.
Okay, so you've convinced us. We have to be in the streaming platforms.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, one of my favorite parts of the holidays is the feeling of warmth and connection that comes with it. Whether it's spending time with loved ones, wrapping up in a cozy blanket, or sipping on a hot chocolate while watching a holiday movie, December always brings a special kind of comfort. But I've also learned over the years that true comfort, the kind that lasts beyond the holiday season, comes from taking care of your mental and emotional well-being. Therapy is an incredible tool for achieving that lasting sense of comfort and growth. It's not just about working through challenges. It's about learning how to set boundaries, build positive coping strategies, and become the best version of yourself. And that's not something limited to people who've experienced major trauma. It's a resource that can benefit everyone, no matter where they are in their journey. If you've been thinking about starting therapy, BetterHelp is a fantastic option to consider. It's completely online, designed to be convenient and flexible, so it fits easily into your busy schedule. All it takes is a quick questionnaire to match you with a licensed therapist who's right for you. And if you ever want to switch therapists, you can do so at no extra charge. It's therapy on your terms, and that makes it accessible to everyone. Find comfort this December with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/playbook. As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for a 365-day returns, plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
How do you start? I mean, a podcast is easy. I mean, you could use Substack even has it built there. There's tons of tools to do a podcast, but to do a streaming show or a video show, how do you start?
Well, first of all, put them in the can. You know, I always say you want to be in the top 1% of streaming content, create 10 shows. Because most people quit, right? It's not the mistakes that you made that make a failure of a show. It's the lack of commitment. And so, you know, I had actually pulled out. I have a show called 2 Minute Drill. You know, we've done Elevator Pitch with, it's the number one digital show on Entrepreneur Magazine, media. I did a show called 2 Minute Drill, and it was on Bloomberg originally. During COVID is when I started it, because I needed this type of content on Bloomberg. And I actually pulled because the show was so shitty, to be honest. Like, I think my wife's comment after the first episode was, this may be the most cringeworthy content I've ever seen. But people paid for it and I had to use it. I've pulled it down because I'm so embarrassed about it. So create 10 shows to start. That's how you get started. You're going to get better at it. You'll be in the top 1% of all streaming content because most people quit before they get to 10 shows. Make sure it's capitalized correctly as well.
What does that mean? I know what it means, have enough money, but capitalize in one sense.
In the sense that not only do you have to have a certain quality of production when you do a streaming show, but most importantly, you have to have a budget for P&A, promotion and advertising. And you can't count on the viral nature of a good idea and play lottery with your content. You actually have to be strategic with a marketing plan and give it enough time to grow a community. And that's where, for me, it's just like real estate. I won't buy real estate anymore unless I know I can buy it without ever having to sell it. So now I've taken the greatest advantage in real estate and the American laws and taken it to my advantage. The same thing to me holds in content. I won't create a show unless I can afford to promote it long enough to actually build a viewership or community, because of the social silo and accessibility, even if it sucks, there's a whole bunch of people that love sucky shit. And you now can access people that just like dumb shit. And eventually you can get 1 million people that are watching dumb shit. And if you get 1 million people that every week or every day watch your dumb shit, you can monetize it and make it profitable. And that's just your social silo, the dumb shit silo that you can now make money in.
I get it. I'll tell you, the opposite of dumb shit is like an all-in podcast, right? That show is so simple.
Yeah,
but so relevant and so important. Those are rare, far in between to find shows like that.
Yeah, I built my show in respect to that. I mean, I have the playbook, 1950 episodes, billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, entertainers. My advantage was I knew all these amazing people and I kept it short to 20 minutes. And it's just, hey, what's your playbook to success? Mindset, heart set, handset, Cameron Diaz, I don't give a shit about your movie. I want to know your playbook to success because it's not easy to be as famous as you are. It's, you know, there's plenty of pretty people that didn't make you successful. What made you successful? Where's that playbook? And that's what made that show so successful for me.
I love it. Let me go to Mark. Mark, you got the first question. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, this is great. Thank you so much. I'm about to go into year 5 of my podcast, The Moped Outlaws. We're irreverent. It's like a play on bikers, but we're like riding mopeds. And we just talked to lots of different people. We're below 1,000 subscribers. What do I do? The 3 things I need to do to take advantage of the strategy you just talked about. Should I be doing live on Twitch? Should I be live on YouTube? We just upload to YouTube recorded. We're taking advantage of the interstitials or AI created, and we're doing that. But what's the key piece that we're missing after 4 years?
Well, one, go live is on every platform that you can. I have like a Sanford and Son setup where I have multiple phones filming me, and then I use StreamYard because it'll go TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn live all at once. But I also have other phones that are creating live. Most importantly though, capture the best moments that represent your show and then post those everywhere. YouTube, LinkedIn, TikTok, FaceTime, fan pages, reels. People aren't taking advantage of how free it is to amplify and perpetuate your content and be able to take the best of the moped show and put that out there. And then make sure you're asking. Most people don't ask the simple question, hey, do you know anyone that can help me? I'm looking for people to either review or share. Reviewing and sharing content is the key to success of high growth in subscribers and followers and engaged audience. And so I'm making sure that I'm asking every day, hey, you know anyone that can help me? I'm looking for people to review my content and share it. If anyone goes on my Instagram, they're like, hey, how can I help you? I always say, share my content and do good deeds.
Yeah, but this is smart. When David, you had me on a couple of years ago, and first thing you did, you gave me the clip I was on your show so I can share it, which I did, which is really, really smart. So it was viral. He made it go, he allowed me to get my segment viral, and then people discovered his show and then watched it from there on.
Yeah, we produce more post-production content. Even my TV shows with CapCut, when you're done in an interview on a TV show that's going to show up in 12 weeks from now, you're getting a CapCut of, and it's templated. So everybody gets 90% of the Dave Meltzer stuff highlighted, but it's the 10% that shows Ken in his little portion that makes him send it out to everyone. Meanwhile, he's advertising my show and promoting himself before the show's even out.
Are we making a mistake using one guest for a full hour? Should we be doing a more variety within that hour?
Unless it's Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, right. I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think it's a mistake to do one person. I just think it's much more beneficial to do four people than it would to do one person. Because even if I have Cameron Diaz, think about this. What we do on our shows is we charge people to come on our shows that aren't big to be with Cameron Diaz. So I have multiple guests. Why? So I now enable and provide value by how much would it cost you to get a clip of you talking with Cameron Diaz because Mark, you're now co-hosting my show or you're a guest with Cameron Diaz and me. And so there's a variety of ways. Here's how I break it down financially. Here's the three things you want to do to provide to people. One, experience. People will pay for experience. Two, business development. And Ken knows that I use my shows as business development all day long. And three, post-production content. I am one of the masters of utilizing not the distributed content. My distributed content is fair at best. It gets a fairly good rating now and it has a fairly good distribution to it. But I'm one of the best in the post-production side. People watch the clips more than they watch the whole show.
Yeah. It makes sense. By the way, TikTok to me is super important. Look at Jordan Peterson has 22 million followers on TikTok. It just dwarfs everything else. So TikTok, and by the way, I'm in Thailand. TikTok here is 10 times better outside the United States because there's no ads.
Yeah.
I love TikTok out here. Let's go to Camille, who's joining us from Jupiter, Florida. Go for it.
You're hey, next. David. I don't know if you remember, we met a couple of weeks ago at Dan Fleischman's dinner. I want to go away from the technical for a minute. You often speak about gratitude as a business strategy. So what's the most unexpected way maybe where gratitude has opened a door for you in your career or maybe even in that current content game?
You know, think about it in every aspect of business and my personal life, that gratitude and forgiveness are combined for me. And what they allow us to do is to make detours in your life divine. What do I mean by that? That everyone is going to have detours, struggles, pain, setbacks, failures, and mistakes. But for me, with gratitude and forgiveness, I'm living in an infinite loop of giving. So instead of I'm giving everything I can and I feel punished because I'm not being and receiving what I'm told I'm supposed to receive because I was taught at a very young age, the more I give, the more I receive. My perspective because of gratitude and forgiveness has shifted to the more I give through gratitude, the ability to find the light, the love, and the lessons and forgiveness for the mistakes that I'm going to make. I now see the more I give, the more I'm given. So I don't ever feel punished. I feel protected, promoted, loved, and perfected by a situation I don't understand instead of immediately saying, oh my God, I'm given everything, but I'm not getting it back. I was told the more I give, the more I receive. For me, it's the more I give, the more I'm given. The more I'm given, the more I'll receive. The more I receive, the more I should ask for more because there's more than enough of everything for everyone. Most people live a zero-sum game. They give 100% and then they feel bad, resentful, or guilty. And so they're like, nah, I only need 98% back. I promise you, if you give 100% and take less than 100% back, you're going to end up at zero eventually. I promise you.
You're right. David, I really appreciate making time for us today. If people want to find you, hunt you down, what's the best place to go?
please email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com. I do free Friday trainings. I got tons of content. I also, for this group, always love to mail my book out, signed, ship. I'll pay for shipping the book and everything for your group. david@dmeltzer.com. Thanks, everyone.